hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, of course, the views of our callers. Our telephone number today is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us, hopefully very, very soon, Ann Coulter, and she's written a fascinating book called Treason. And, of course, Anne has written a number of other books on other things that are going on in our society today. But this book really goes back and, of course, talks about Alger Hiss and Joe McCarthy and, of course, the attitude of the liberal establishment towards these people. And, of course, Alger Hiss, the communist spy. Joe McCarthy, the man who was trying to point out subversion at the highest levels of our government. And, of course, what happened was, of course, Alger Hiss was eulogized and praised even to this day after it's quite obvious he was a communist spy. And, of course, Joe McCarthy, who was trying to expose the communist influence in America, has been demonized. In fact, we've even coined a word. It's called McCarthyism. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for being with us today, and I've really enjoyed reading your book so much. It brought back a lot of memories. 40 years ago, when I read Whitaker Chambers, and of course there's one statement he made, I was so glad you had it in there, as he described, communism is the second oldest religion. It was man's second oldest faith. Its promise was whispered in the days of the creation under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ye shall be as gods. He was really an amazing person, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about this book and why you wrote it, and, of course, what you're trying to make people understand?
In a nutshell, that you can't trust the Democrats with foreign policy. It's a 50-year history of...
Can you speak up just a little louder? You're very, very soft.
I'm trying to move this closer.
All right, fine. Are you on a regular handheld phone?
I'm on the only phone I have.
All right, fine.
It's about the Democrats' 50-year history of defending traitors, sheltering traitors, as you were just mentioning, ferociously defending Alger Hiss and the Rosenbergs. And this wasn't the Susan Sarandons or Tim Robbins of their day. These were Democratic presidents and Supreme Court justices and secretaries of state. Going through their loss of continence to communism, losing the war in Vietnam, betraying an ally, opposing every step of Ronald Reagan took to oppose and finally defeat the Soviet Union, to the point that now on the war on terrorism, the Democratic Party has become an instant sedition lobby. It doesn't even strike anyone as unusual that one political party in this country appears not to be rooting for America.
Well, I think that's really, of course, the history of what happened there is so vitally important. And I think, of course, you start justifiably so. Going back 50 years to the story of Alger Hiss, a lot of our listeners probably don't remember the Alger Hiss story. Maybe you could tell it for us. And, of course, the conflict between Hiss and Chambers, when, of course, the government was going to arrest Chambers, for perjury.
Right.
And let the communist spy go.
That's right. Well, I think one of the most crucial facts about Alger Hiss, he was in a spy ring, a Soviet spy ring, along with Whitaker Chambers, who was a communist spy himself at one point. Whitaker Chambers, as your earlier quote indicated, literally found religion, became a Christian. Oh, I hear music. We're going to a break.
We're going to a break.
Story than that.
All right. I'm going to ask if you'll hang up. We're going to call you right back, see if we can get a better line, okay?
Okay.
Okay, fine. And, of course, Eric, if you'd call Ann right back, let's see if we can get a better line. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Ann Coulter, who has written a wonderful, wonderful book entitled Treason, liberal treachery from the Cold War to the war on terrorism. And I'm going to ask my producer if he'll please call Ann Coulter back. We've lost her. And, of course, she goes into the background of what happened, 50 years ago. And a lot of people really don't remember when it was back in the late 1940s and 1950s, where we had communists at every level of our government. We had them working in the White House. We had them working in our Defense Department. We had them working in the State Department. And, of course, it was during those years that China had gone communist, Eastern Europe had gone communist, and people began to say, why is our government actually turning over large segments of the world to this brutal, brutal regime? And, of course, the media was always praising communism, and of course, they never mentioned, of course, that well over 100 million people died under communist brutality, systematically executed in Russia and in China. This was blocked out, and all you ever heard of it, really, of course, is no communist threat at all. And it was in the background of that, of course, that the conflict between Whitaker Chambers and Alger Hiss arose. So would you like to pick it up from there, Ann?
Yes, I was saying, after Chambers left the Communist Party,
if you could speak just as loud as you can, I don't know why we're having such a problem.
Chambers went to Roosevelt and told him that there were Soviet spies throughout his administration. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. It's awfully, awfully soft. Could you just speak as loud as you can, please?
And President Roosevelt laughed. That was in 1939. If Roosevelt had responded then, we wouldn't have lived under the threat of nuclear annihilation for the next 50 years. It was through Roosevelt's moral infirmity and facing the Soviet threat that all Americans lived with the Cold War for 50 years. It wasn't for another 10 years that the House on Un-Americans Activities called in Whitaker Chambers to testify, and he once again named Alger Hiss, who was a top State Department official, as a Soviet spy. The House committee was more interested in this. Alger Hiss testified under oath that it was a lie that he didn't know Whitaker Chambers, and the battle of Whitaker Chambers and Alger Hiss was a bigger and more public, more ferocious fight than Clinton's impeachment was. It roiled the country for a year, with all of the elite siding with the Soviet spy Alger Hiss. He was had been a Supreme Court clerk. And
we're going to have to bring on one more program, one more station. We'll be right back here with our special guest. And, of course, our special guest today is Ann Coulter. Her book is Treason, Must Reading for the History That It Gives Us of the Communist Influence at the Highest Level of our Government, and the fact that the communist spy was praised by Dean Acheson, who became Secretary of State, and John Foster Dulles, who became Secretary of State. And people, from both political parties were backing Alger Hiss, of course, who was a communist spy. Eventually, they brought out the Speak Secret files in 1995, the Soviet files that showed he was a communist spy. But, of course, all through the years, and even today, the New York Times continues to say, well, there was a lot of evidence that would have proved his innocence, but it was always suppressed by Richard Nixon. You want to tell those stories? Ann?
I was telling you. What just happened?
Oh, go right ahead. We just took a little quick break there. Go ahead.
Oh. But I can still hear you talking.
All right. You go right ahead.
Where was I?
You were beginning to talk about, of course, the conflict between Alger Hiss and Whitaker Chambers. And, of course, here's Alger Hiss. Of course, he's been a Supreme Court law clerk. He's very close to Felix Frankfurter, members of the Supreme Court, the entire liberal establishment in Washington, D.C. And he's the fair-haired boy, and Whitaker Chambers is a scrawny little, well, not scrawny, but he's got bad teeth and he's not very handsome. But, of course, he's trying to say that the communists are at every level of our government. So pick up the story there.
So they have the hearings, the American people see, they believe Whitaker Chambers, the elites don't. Eventually, Alger Hiss is tried for perjury because the espionage statute is run. He is convicted of perjury, and the day of his conviction, Secretary of State Dean Acheson says he will not turn his back on Alger Hiss, and thus was born, McCarthy's crusade against these elites in the government protecting Soviet spies.
But of course, McCarthy wasn't involved at all in the Hiss Chambers issue, but he was affronted by the way the media was attacking Chamberlain and attacking Richard Nixon and attacking anybody who was trying to expose communism. So he, of course, wanted and tried to do something about it. So pick up the story.
So he gave his Wheeling, West Virginia speech, saying that he had in his hand the names of 57 card-carrying members of the Communist Party in the State Department, and in response, the Senate decided to investigate whether McCarthy had said 57 or 205, as communist spies wormed their way through top government positions. So there was a major investigation of McCarthy. There were four investigations of McCarthy, in fact, by the Senate, as he exposed the Democratic Party. The committee that investigated McCarthy's capital offense of misspeaking, in the end concluded that what McCarthy had said was correct, that he said 57, not 205. No history book about McCarthy reports it that way. They just dropped the committee report that investigated him, and go on accusing McCarthy of being loose with the facts and being sloppy, not getting his facts right.
All right, fine. Of course, the attack continues on McCarthy, and of course, we even coin a word. It's called McCarthyism, which means irresponsibility. And yet, didn't McCarthy actually identify people who were communists? And in fact, was there any evidence that he ever mentioned anybody's name who was not a communist?
He did not falsely accuse anyone. I've been waiting for someone to produce a name. He didn't accuse everyone of being a communist or a Soviet spy. It sort of misconceives his mission to ask who he named, though he did name, in fact, dozens of people who were agents for Joseph Stalin, as we now know from decrypted Soviet cables. He named plenty of those, but that really wasn't his point, which is why it's a little deceptive for liberals to demand to know who he named and who he identified. His point was that loyalty boards were not doing their jobs. After the Rosenberg case and the Hiss case, the government was still, the Roosevelt and Truman administrations had still been employing ludicrous security risks, people who shouldn't have been any place near a government job. It would be as if the Bush administration were employing not only members of Al-Qaeda, but simply suspected members of Al-Qaeda after 9/11. For a lot of reasons, someone shouldn't have a government job, short of proof beyond a reasonable doubt that they're working for Osama bin Laden or that they're working for Joseph Stalin. And that was McCarthy's point. These loyalty boards weren't doing their jobs. They were giving one of McCarthy's biggest cases, one of the ones he did name and produce and get fired from his job and convicted, was William Remington, Stalin's agent in the Commerce Department. Truman's loyalty board had given a pass to Remington.
Well, I think, you know, it's so interesting that people have forgotten that Alger Hiss was the man who coordinated the Dumbarton Oaks Conference that gave us, of course, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. He was involved as far as the first Secretary General of the United Nations. He drew up the United Nations Charter. People don't understand that was drawn up by a communist spy. Isn't it interesting, Anne, that they delete that from our history books today?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, conservatives opposed the UN, but figured it couldn't do much harm. And now liberals demand we need approval from the UN before acting in America's self-defense.
All right, of course, but the attack on Joseph McCarthy continues today. In fact, you even pointed out that in 1995, the Verona Files were actually released. Do you want to tell our listeners what the Verona Files were and why they were so important?
The Venona Project was started in the 40s in response to the Hitler-Stalin Pact. The Army, in a top-secret project, undertook to decrypt Soviet cables to America. They broke the code, and though they were interested in finding out Stalin's war plans, they discovered something more sinister, and that was that there were not dozens, but hundreds of Soviet spies working for the U.S. government in top positions.
And so they knew this for 50 years, and they kept that secret?
Yes, yes. It wasn't, J. Edgar Hoover was not randomly surveilling people. He knew the Soviet spies were, and he knew that the informants were telling the truth, informants like Whitaker Chambers. They could corroborate what Chambers was telling them with what they were reading in Soviet cables. And they had many other informants, so they in fact could separate the, you know, I don't know if they ever had any phony informants, but they certainly knew who the reliable ones were, and those are the ones who mostly testified and that the left attacked, Elizabeth Bentley and Louis Boudens. And they also knew absolutely, for example, that the Rosenbergs were Soviet spies. But J. Edgar Hoover risked losing that case, risked an acquittal, rather than reveal to the Soviets that the Americans had broken their code.
But, of course, even to this day, I mean, they're all people in the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, insist, of course, that the Rosenbergs were just as innocent as the newborn, new fallen snow. And, of course, most people today do not know that the Venona files actually show that they were communist agents.
Yes.
So, basically, of course, you point out that the media today is still glorifying communists and, of course, attacking anybody who is an anti-communist.
Yes.
All right, well, then what can we do about it? How do we get people to understand the truth? Because they're not going to get it by reading their textbooks. They're not going to get it from Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Barbara Walters, for sure.
I'll read my book.
Well, of course.
Stop voting for the Democrats.
All right, fine. Of course, the book is Treason, Liberal Treachery from the Cold War to the War on Terrorism. And, of course, it's really, of course, you have come under tremendous attack for saying anything good about Joe McCarthy.
Yes, it's quite a mythology they've created. They had to distract from the Democrats' own collaboration with the regime as evil as the Nazis.
All right, fine. Of course, now, of course, you go into a fair amount of detail about Joe McCarthy, but, you know, they eventually destroyed him, didn't they?
Yes, he died a young man at age 48, censured, despised, his name a malediction. As I point out, it's interesting that the five men in the past century who probably did the most to defeat Soviet totalitarianism are Joe McCarthy, J. Edgar Hoover, Richard Nixon, Whitaker Chambers, and Ronald Reagan. And all five of them, at least in their time and some still today, are the most despised men in American history over the last century.
And yet, of course, the people on the other side, like Alger Hiss, are glorified, and even many people are still defending the Rosenbergs, just this poor couple of victims of a witch hunt and, of course, executed by the American government. And yet they threatened the lives of millions of Americans by, of course, giving the Soviets the information on the bomb.
Yes, there's an Alger Hiss chair at Bard College.
And, of course, most people are totally unaware of the fact that long after it was known that he was a communist spy, the New York Times was still writing articles praising him and saying, gee, if they'd only gotten all of the evidence, he would have been exonerated.
Yes, they lie about the evidence and have to issue corrections days later.
And do they actually correct it a few days later? I never read the corrections.
I report some of them in my book.
All right. Well, of course, now, what is the message you're trying to get out to the public, that they should vote Republican rather than Democrat?
Yeah, that you can't trust Democrats with defending the nation.
All right, fine. And, of course, but certainly some of the people who backed Alger Hiss were Republicans, and certainly John Foster Dulles testified and said what a wonderful chap he was.
There are a lot of bad Republicans. There are no good Democrats.
All right. All right, fine. Well, of course, of course, I, as a Republican, am very, very concerned about some of the things that are going on today. Well, how about Truman? You seem to think that Truman, at least under certain circumstances, tried to do the right thing, and yet, of course, he was the one who was saying, you know, when, of course, they talked about Alger Hiss being a communist spy, he called that a red herring.
I don't think I do say all that much kind about Truman.
All right.
He promoted and defended not only Alger Hiss, but Harry Dexter White. After the FBI warned Truman, the president, that Harry Dexter White was a Soviet spy, Truman took no action and, in fact, promoted Harry Dexter White from the Treasury to the International Monetary Fund.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a short break here, and I'm going to ask you to hang up. We're going to try one more time to see if we get a better line. So I apologize, but we'll be right back here, and we'll ask you to hang up.
Okay.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dagan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact that too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to tell you about the big Berkey water filters. And, of course, in times like this, you certainly want to make sure that you have a means of getting potable water in case there should be any sort of an interruption in our water supply. And we're told repeatedly that we're going to have more terrorist attacks here. At least that's what Tom Ridge says. And so certainly you're going to have to look after yourself. And one of the things you could do would be to get a big Berkey water filter. These have been used by missionaries for 150 years. They're stainless steel, they're attractive. You can put them any place in your home or in your RV, and of course you put in 2.5 gallons in the top and it comes out the bottom, and it goes through ceramic filters, does a great job of cleaning up the water. A lot of people who have water that just doesn't taste quite right love the big Berkey. People who are concerned about contamination or certain metals or certain pesticides, certainly many of them are partially or totally filtered out. The Big Berkey, ordinarily $279, available for $239 from Radio Liberty. And if you buy it from us, you get a four-tape set or a video we produce. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, the Big Berkey is available in every state in the Union except for the state of California and Iowa. So if you'd like to get something here in California, we have the Berkey Light. And, of course, it's made out of Lexan. It's clear so you can actually see the water level. The filters are different. We call them the Black Berkey. We call them water purifiers rather than water filters because they do so much better job in actually cleaning up the water. And, of course, if you have fluoride in your water, you can take it out with both filters, but you have to get special post-filters to put on the bottom. But the Black Berkey is $199. We make the same offer of the tape set or a video. And, of course, you can see both the Black Berkey and Berkey Light and the Big Berkey at our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. So why don't you go and look at it and then order one by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and I guess, Ann, are you still there?
I am.
All right, fine. Well, what you're saying is so interesting. I'm fascinated by it. Maybe we can try it again at a different time, but let's stay for a few more minutes and get as much information out as we can. And so, basically, of course, Joe McCarthy comes under this vicious attack from every means of communication, doesn't he?
Yes.
And so actually then what you mentioned, he dies at a very young age, but of course they mainly pretty well destroyed the anti-communist movement when they destroyed Joe McCarthy, didn't they? And yet didn't polls show that the majority of the American people supported him?
Yes, I think that's not quite right. That's their version of history, how they triumphed over the cruel malefactor Joe McCarthy. In fact, he won the war. We don't have a functioning communist party in this country. He had so badly stigmatized communism that really no one goes around calling himself a communist anymore. And most importantly, he had won the hearts and minds of the American workers, the very people communists claim to speak for. He had really dealt them a 30-year defeat right up until Ronald Reagan, giving America enough time to wait out until Ronald Reagan came in and would finally defeat Soviet totalitarianism. McCarthy may have sacrificed his reputation, but he bought America another 30 years.
All right, fine. Well, I think that, of course, Joe McCarthy has been very, very much maligned. And yet, of course, if you read the history of what really happened there, you'll find out that what happened is entirely different than we have been told. And, of course, actually, I read a book, I don't know whether you saw this one, by William Buckley. It was written, 40 or 50 years ago, just about that time, going into the background of what really happened. Are you acquainted with that book?
McCarthy and his enemies.
McCarthy and his enemies. That was my first introduction to what really happened during that time.
Yes, and that was even before the Venona papers were released.
Right. And, of course, the thing is that, of course, all the books, and you can go to the library and you'll find a dozen or more books condemning Joe McCarthy, and the one that, of course, it gives you the other side, why they just happen to have lost the copy. So the McCarthy and his enemies, I don't even think it's available any longer, but it really gave you tremendous insight to what he really said, and then, of course, what the media said about him.
Yes, it's still one of the best books about McCarthy, though, as I say, they didn't have as much information as we now have.
And, of course, the book that Anne has written is called Treason, Liberal Treachery, From the Cold War to the Book of to the War on Terrorism. And, of course, we do carry the book. If you'd like to get a copy of Ann Coulter's book, Treason, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Ann, I'm going to let you just to say what you want to. I'm going to let you go at half hour, and I hope we can get you back again because I really want to cover it, but we're really struggling for some reason with the board.
Yeah, we are having trouble with that. I'd like to try it again when we have a phone connection that works.
All right, fine. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
I suppose that at least insofar as the McCarthy section goes, and the book is only in part about McCarthy, maybe about a quarter of the book is the truth about McCarthy, to imagine how the history of George Bush would look right now if it were written solely relying on Maureen Dowd columns, or how the history of impeachment and Ken Starr would appear to people who only got their news from the New York Times. That is the way the history of McCarthy has been written, through the left's infernal politics of personal destruction.
Well, I think the tragedy is I don't think the average American understands the degree of control that exists over the American media today. You know, in Russia, every Russian knows that the media is controlled. Trouble is, here in the United States, the American people don't know the media is controlled, and that's really what's so frightening.
Well, they're learning a lot more, especially now that we have the Internet and a lot of talk radio stations and also some cable.
Well, you know, your voice is coming through better, so if you want to stay for a few minutes more, my wife said not to let you go because it's beginning to come through better. So you can stay for another 15 minutes or so?
Why don't we just do another 5 minutes right now?
All right, fine. Well, we're going to have to take a 3-minute break here in just a moment or two. And, of course, unfortunately, I have no control over the commercials here on the station. But certainly we noticed, of course, that George Bush is simply taking an awful beating today on what was said as far as the statement about the uranium being bought in Africa. And yet, of course, this really is not almost a non-issue.
I think it's completely a non-issue, and I wish the Democrats luck trying to make it an issue. They're looking, as they always do, just like obstructionists and naysayers. What Bush said is true, was true, remains true.
All right, fine. If you can stay, we'll get through the break here, and then when you have to go, you let me know. We'll be right back here in just a moment with our special guest, of course, Ann Coulter, her book on treason. You want to get it, you want to read it. If you don't know that history, if you didn't get through it as I did, why, of course, you need to get the back.
Set genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Donovan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. He might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews. We will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention some of the other products we carry. One of them, of course, are Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims. But, of course, we will tell you that many of the people who use these products love them. And, of course, this is something that really is helping us to stay on the air. People, once they've tried the products, will use them over and over again. And I find even myself, you know, if I have something happening, an area of irritation or pain or a bursa or something, taking a little of that gel and rubbing on it, it does a great job of taking out the pain. Now, all we can say is there are no controlled studies. It's simply all what people tell us. But, of course, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a gel, a lotion, and a neutralizing solution that some people say really helps with their heartburn. All we can do is suggest you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, order the Miracle 2 soap products. And hope you'll like them. And then, of course, we also carry something called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a board game that's designed to overcome the dumbing down process in the American schools. It teaches children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically in about 16 hours. And it can transform the life of your children, your grandchildren, or perhaps even you if you're an adult out there and you're really concerned about the fact that you have difficulty reading or comprehending. Why not consider Phonopoly? And of course, most of these programs are $300, $400, $500. This one's $139.95. And then, of course, we carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, because we encourage people to get their children out of the government schools if you really care about them and you want them to learn. And so if the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is on 22 CDs, it'll take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation. The only books you have to buy are the math textbooks. And, of course, it's $199.95. You can't beat the price, and it'll do a great job. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and, of course, our guest is Ann Coulter, and we're talking about her book, Treason, and Ann can only be with us a few more minutes. And, of course, it's a wonderful lesson in the history of that period back in the late 1940s and early and mid-50s. Of course, when the communists were working in control of this country at the highest levels of our government, they were working in the White House. Harry Hopkins himself, the president's advisor, was looked upon by the communists as an asset, Lachlan Currie. I mean, really, it frightening figures, weren't they, Ann, when you begin to see the influence the communists had over our government?
Yes, it's really stunning, but part of the left's infernal politics of personal destruction and propaganda campaign have sort of altered the sound of the word communist. I mean, it doesn't sound particularly jarring or alarming to anyone. It sounds like you're accusing someone of being a vegetarian or an idealist. It's not like accusing someone of being a Nazi or a Hitler's spy, a white supremacist. And consequently, I've gone through in my book what the Bush administration would look like right now. Now, if instead of Soviet spies, it were members of Al-Qaeda. And it is stunning. It is horrifying to see what a mess the Roosevelt and Truman administrations had made at the beginning of the Cold War.
Well, of course, the thing that is really most distressing to me is the fact that they never mentioned that almost 100 million people were slaughtered by the communists. To this very day, you know, everybody talks about the Holocaust and the 6 million Jews who died. It was a terrible thing. But why don't they ever talk about the 60 million people who died in the Soviet Gulag, or maybe an equal number or even more who died in Mao Tse-Tung's prisons and work camps?
That's right. When will they get their movie?
And, of course, you know, how can we have a free society when the fourth estate has become a fifth column? It really has.
Yes, it has. So we've broken through that, as I was saying just before the break with the Internet and talk radio. What the left still has complete domination of are the schools, which is why the history books are written to exclude actual history. And my book is a corrective to that.
Well, of course, you've done a very, very good job of writing it. Of course, our plea to our listeners out there, if you love your children, get them out of the government schools, because they're not going to get the truth simply in the public schools, because the textbooks have been slanted remarkably to the left, and children aren't liberals because they're idealists. They're liberals because they've been indoctrinated in grammar school and in high school and certainly in college in the radical beliefs of the far left, and I know because I was a victim of it many, many years ago. So, you know, I think that, of course, the book covers a great deal of history, and, of course, it gives you the background of all the things that happened at this time, which most people really don't remember. So, basically, of course, you know, you work for Human Events, don't you? You're a regular writer for Human Events?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. Well, I'm going to let you go. What were your parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Don't vote for the Democrats. You can't trust them with national security.
All right, fine. Our guest has been Ann Coulter. Her book has been Treason. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. God bless you, Ann. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk
to you.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay, fine. And, of course, I think that Ann's really done a great job of bringing back, of course, this era that most people have forgot. If you've never read, of course, Whitaker Chambers' book, Witness, it is a must reading. It's one of the great books of our time. And I'll never forget reading this book some 41 years ago and the profound impact it had on me as we begin to understand that behind this whole move of communism, as I mentioned here at the very beginning of our program, and, of course, what, of course, was said and is said, that Whitaker Chambers had said communism was the second oldest faith. This is the vision of man without God. It was man's second oldest faith. Its promise was whispered in the days of creation under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Ye shall be as gods. And that's really what it's all about. I mean, if you believe that man should be an individual and should be able to determine his own future, why, that's not, of course, what the people on the other side believe. They, of course, want to tell you what to do. But, of course, what has really been missed, of course, by most people who have gone back and looked at the era of the 40s and 50s is what, of course, Professor Quigley brings out so well in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And if you haven't read that book, you really need to get it, because, of course, the book was so important that somebody bought up the Macmillan Company and destroyed the plates to the first half of Tragedy and Hope. And why did they do that? Well, very, very simply, because they did not want the American people to understand the battle is not between communism and capitalism. The battle is between freedom and the third force. It was the third force that Ian Fleming talked about in the James Bond books. You remember the original James Bond books? Then there was communism, and there was capitalism, and then there was Spectre. What was Spectre? When you go back and read the original books, it was another force of people of great wealth who wanted to rule the world. And, of course, Ian Fleming had worked with MI5 and MI6 during the Second World War. He understood that there were people out here who were neither communist nor capitalist, in fact, supported both of those, but they had another agenda. And what Professor Quigley says so well in his book, and I suggest you get it, in fact, you read the book from about page 946 to the end of the chapter. And he says, you know, it was really so funny because there were a lot of people back in the 1940s and 1950s who really thought that The reason, of course, that we had given Eastern Europe to communism and turned China over to the communists was because there were communists at the highest levels of our government. And, of course, they thought there were communists at the New York Times, and there were communists at Harvard, and there were communists working in the State Department. And he says, you missed the whole thing. The reason these things are happening is because of the Anglo-American establishment that controls the State Department and Time Magazine and the New York Times and our universities and, of course, our State Department. And it is this Anglo-American establishment that is using all of this for their own purposes. And once you begin to understand that everything, of course, is illusion and delusion, everything is designed to confuse you and to keep you from understanding the truth. Now, you need to know what happened at that time. You need to understand that there were communists at the highest levels of our government. But why would John Foster Dulles and Allen Dulles' brother, of course, John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State, and Allen Dulles was the man who created the CIA. And, of course, John Foster Dulles testified in favor of Alger Hiss. Why would Felix Frankfurter, who was a Supreme Court justice, testify as a character witness for Alger Hiss? Because you have to understand, first of all, that there had never was any communism in Russia. All you ever had was an elite group that controlled the masses, and they worked right along with the elite group that controls the masses right here. But they need America's wealth and power to bring about this new world order, and this is really what it's all about. So, I mean, certainly if you really want to understand what's going on, you need to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And if you want to hear the interview I have, an interview with him, I didn't do it, but we have an interview where he tells you how his book was suppressed and how these crazy right-wingers believe there's a communist conspiracy. He recognized the conspiracy, but he knew it wasn't a communist conspiracy. But, of course, the peaceful have always hidden behind communism, have raised it up, you know, as a smokescreen to conceal what specter or what they were all about. And who are they? Why, they're the people in the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, you read about this all the time in your papers and your magazines today. But you go back 20 years, and you never see mention of the Council on Foreign Relations. Because at that time, of course, they didn't want the American people to know. And eventually they had to come forward and say, oh, yes, we've been here all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, every Secretary of State since 1953 has come from the CFR. Every director of the CIA, all but one chairman of the CIA or director of the Central Intelligence Agency, most of our presidents or vice presidents right today. You find, of course, Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor, Dick Cheney, the vice president, Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, all come from the Council on Foreign Relations. They control our government. They control whether the Republicans are in, whether the Democrats are in. And if you read pages 951 and 952 of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, he will tell you that the CFR is a front for a secret society that was created by Cecil John Rhodes. And, of course, that group was known as the Round Table, and that was a front for the secret society. What most people who've observed this and studied it have missed is that behind Cecil Rhodes and the men who surrounded him were occult forces. Because this is an occult conspiracy. Its ultimate goal is to create a one-world government under the control of the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer himself. And, of course, we're moving rapidly in that direction because the church has abandoned America. The church has told people just go along no matter how corrupt the government is. And if our founding fathers had believed that, we'd still be British subjects. It's a lie, but a lie told often enough eventually comes to be believed. God gave us a Christian republic with a proviso, we must keep it. And, of course, we've turned our back on him, and, of course, we've abandoned God as a nation. And when a nation does that, eventually, why, God turns against that nation. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Nathan on the line. Hi, Nathan.
Well, hi. You know, you mentioned the concept that we were founded as a republic. And some have suggested that when we became a quote-unquote democracy was when these forces began to move in and manipulate the public instead of upholding the law, the forces that Ms. Coulter was referring to. And the interesting thing is that it wasn't too many decades ago that we were referred to as a constitutional republic on a, you know, rather regular basis. But now, a while ago in college, I was writing a paper in which, at which point I basically referred to this country as a republic, and that we had been more or less considered to be a republic throughout the 19th century. And sure enough, the teacher, who was a decent teacher, a good man, but he corrected me and said that we had more or less been a democracy since the Jacksonian age. But I know from primary documents that we really were considered to be a republic and were referred to as such up until very, very recent history. And,
you're absolutely right. And it's about time we got people to understand the difference between a democracy and a republic, and why in a democracy, of course, you have the seeds of the destruction of society. And as Alexander Tyler said so well over 200 years ago, Professor Tyler, democracies are temporary forms of government. They last only until people find that they can vote themselves into the largest of the treasury. They vote for people who've given them the most. The country goes bankrupt and becomes a despotism. And that's exactly what Plato said 2,350 years ago. He said, democracy always descends to despotism. And any of our listeners out there who would like to get the background of this, I have a great newsletter. It's November of the year 2000. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, November 2000, or give us a call. We'll send you a copy. And it explains the difference between this. It's about time people begin to understand that our leaders are violating their oath of office. They are swear to uphold the Constitution, and of course they're doing everything they can to undermine it, especially some of our Supreme Court justices. Anything else,
yeah.
Nathan?
Well, yeah. The other interesting thing is Ms. Coulter, I would have wanted to ask her this, but it didn't seem like an apropos time to really call in with all the problems with the sound and everything. But it seems as though, you know, she says, well, don't vote for the Democrats. Well, okay, that's fine. But, you know, President Bush also uses the term democracy, right along with Gore, with Nader, with Buchanan, with pretty much all the candidates refer to this as a system where if you get enough people, you can pass any kind of law you want.
You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's not the way that George Washington viewed this country, and that's not the way even Thomas Jefferson, who was probably more inclined towards democracy than the others, even he did not believe in a system whereby the majority could just get anything. So
you're absolutely right. The trouble is, today we have to point out that you can't trust the leaders of either political party. Hey, we got to run, Nathan.
Okay.
We got a full board. Let's go to Frank calling. Hi, Frank. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Michigan. How are you today?
Good to have you with us.
Two quick things, and your last caller sort of touched on it. Number one, she seems like a very intelligent lady. Okay?
She really is a very intelligent lady who's never read Tragedy and Hope.
And she's probably, I know she's forgotten more than I know. But the two things that I have to wonder, where do these, like, really good conservative people, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, where do they really believe, or why do they believe that the Republican is indeed a good party? And number two, why do they really believe that communism today is weak, like in Russia, when in fact they're actually arming to the teeth?
Well, I'll tell you what, because they don't have all the facts, because it's very difficult to believe that both political parties are controlled by the same forces. But the truth of the matter is, that's exactly what's happened. And so what we have to do is try to educate them. And believe me, Ann Coulter represents an awful lot of good people I know who've just never heard the truth. And if we get them to read my Brotherhood of Darkness book, maybe their eyes would get opened, or begin to have access to the books that have been so thoroughly suppressed. But everything is Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, right, left, and that's all set up to confuse us and to keep us from being able to see the real enemy.
Amen to that one.
Okay,
thank you. Keep up the good work.
I will. Thank you so much. And we've got Mary on the line. Mary, where are you calling from?
Covina.
Covina?
Yeah.
Okay, good to have you with us. And again, our telephone number, well, I guess you'll probably be the last call. Go ahead, Mary.
I was going to say that the last two callers pretty much brought up the same thing that I was going to bring up about Ann Coulter and the fact that she said that about the Democrats and think that the Republicans are so good.
Right.
I liked what she said when she said there's no good Democrats and a lot of bad Republicans, but because everybody else, the other two brought that up, I would just like to ask, do you really think that Nixon wasn't a good and Reagan? Because I've heard you say they were both part of the same group.
Well, I think that Nixon sold out his principles for advantage. And when he lost the gubernatorial race in 1960, I think it was, or 62 in California, he moved back to New York City. And where do you think he moved? Out of all the apartments in New York City, he moved into one right below Nelson Rockefeller. He went to work for the Rockefeller family and worked in their law firm and then spent the next 6 years running for the presidency. They owned him lock, stock, and barrel. And that's the tragedy. He betrayed the boys in Vietnam. He kept the war going there so he could get reelected because they wanted the war as a distraction as they changed America, and it went right along with them. And I think that Nixon was a despicable man.
Well, what about Reagan?
Brilliant. He was brilliant, but he was despicable because he had no principles.
Well, what about Reagan?
Well, that's an entirely different story. I think that Ronald Reagan had a lot of good ideas, but unfortunately he had a wife who was deeply involved in the occult. That was Nancy, and she was always going to her astrologer to get advice for him. And, of course, when Ronald Reagan gave orders, nobody listened because the man who ran his administration was named George Herbert Walker Bush. And of course, Reagan was forced to take him as his vice president. We have that from reliable sources. And, of course, Reagan was simply a figurehead, especially after he was shot. Do you know who the man who shot him was? Why, he was the son of a very close friend of George Herbert Walker Bush. What does that suggest to you?
Yeah, well, I've heard, you know, I listen to you regularly, so I've heard all that. But I think you had a guest on one time. It talked about the fact that Reagan went to a very liberal college.
It is, and if you'd like the book, we have it. It's called The Dove Connection, and it's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I recommend the book to you. We're out of time.
Okay.
Bye-bye, and thanks so much for calling.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first 5 wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time I want to mention that if you're out there and you don't have health insurance, or you're just burdened down by the excessive cost of health insurance today, and it really doesn't pay that much for you anyway, well, think about joining an organization, a Christian health cost sharing program, a Christian health cost sharing program, and I think you'll be very pleased if you do. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or I will have the people from MediShare get in touch with you, and I think you'll find it a fascinating program. That's MediShare, a Christian health cost sharing program. And then, of course, if you would like to get a list of all the things you should have on hand in case there's a major emergency and you don't have access to food or other things, give us a call and we'll be glad to send you a ready reserve food catalog. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get some of the material we have. We got a wonderful video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story. Or if you really want to understand why, of course, the government didn't want, of course, to release any information at all to the investigating committee, and of course you've blocked the release of most of the information, you need to see my video, a 911 cover-up or a 911 conspiracy, and of course it will give you the information that you won't get elsewhere, and simply take you into the background of who was Osama bin Laden and who financed Osama bin Laden, and of course the real background of what really happened. You need to get a book called Dollars for Terror. It was written in 1999. It tells you who financed Osama bin Laden and the Islamic terrorist movement, and we have the book, of course, American Jihad, written by Stephen Emerson, that pointed out the government knew all about this Islamic terrorist movement, was monitoring it, they knew who they were, That's how they can arrest the people immediately. Call us and get these books right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who believe that we have a good message. First of all, for you to support us, and you can do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARN, and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Or if you'd like to just subscribe to our newsletter, or if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one. 1-800-544-8927. The latest one goes into the background of why there's so many new diseases. Why there's so many antibiotic-resistant diseases, why there is so much cancer out there. I think you'll be fascinated by our latest newsletter, and we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. And then, of course, we want you to tell other people about our programs. We want you to tell other people about our website, which is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you can go there, and there are pictures of all these great water filters, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, and of course you get them through us. Why? You get a free video or a free 4-tape set. Just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. We hope that many of you want to think about getting a garlic product, because garlic has so many wonderful properties, and yet of course you don't want to eat an awful lot of it because it makes you smell bad, but Alamax doesn't do that. Alamax is the active ingredient in garlic. And, of course, I've been taking it for, 9 months now, and I haven't had a serious cold or flu or anything during the last winter time. The number is 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. If you'd like to set up an Institute of the Constitution in your community, in your town, in your church, call 410-760-9068. A wonderful program put on by Dr. John Ijmo. 12 lectures that will, of course, give you the background to our American history, and of course you'll then understand that you've been lied to in school, been lied to in universities, and you're being lied to by politicians and the media today, and the fourth estate has become a fifth column. We care, of course, Phenopoly, and of course if you're interested in Phenopoly, a wonderful program to teach your children, your grandchildren, or maybe you to read phonetically and spell phonetically and pronounce words phonetically. Why, call us, and of course, if you would be interested in a homeschool program, the Robinson Homeschool Program that'll take your children or grandchildren from grammar school all the way through high school graduation on 22 CDs for $199.95. There's nothing like it. There are 50,000 of them out there. It's a great, great program. And of course, if you'd like to learn about MediShare, which is a Christian health cost sharing program, that's MediShare, a Christian health cost sharing program, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. But of course, we want you to go to our website, and you can listen to our archive programs there. Of course, you can listen to our live programs, many of them, if you have access to the Internet. You can pull down our newsletters. You can pull down the other things we've written. But mostly, of course, we want you to tell others about our Internet site. You want me to tell them about our programs, because that's how we're able to get the information out. One person telling another person about the foundations of our freedom and the fact that we're losing them. And that there's really not a dollar's worth of difference, or maybe even a dime's worth of difference, between the leaders of the two political parties. They're both dedicated to a one-world government and a new world order. Of course, both parties have been shipping our jobs overseas. Since the Bush administration came in, we've lost almost 2.5 million jobs that will never come back again. And of course, the recovery you're seeing now is totally manipulated. It is being kept there, keep the people happy until the next election, and then, well, after that, who knows what's going to happen. It's about time the American people understood that there are people in the Council on Foreign Relations up front for a secret society that have a different goal, a different world vision. They don't want, of course, to transmit to future generations our freedom. They want to transform America, pray for America, and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.